from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I was listening to those two gizmos giving you a hard time.
Are we talking Parkinson Spiegel?
You got
my
it.
My guys, yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
He is ready to give up the farm, literally, to get Garrett Crochet.
You know, it's definitely something I'm aware of as the deadline approaches, but out of my control. You know, once the trade deadline comes and goes, whatever happens, happens, you know.
And a lot of guys are kind of processing the same thing in this clubhouse, right?
Right. It's out of everybody's control. I think that right now we're just, you know, fighting as a team, you know, while we still are one. You know, who knows what's going to happen. We may all still be here in a week, and it's going to seem like we had all this conversation for no reason. But until then, you know, we'll just wait and see.
Iops ready and fired. High fly ball out towards right field, but playable. And Mitchell is there. He's got it. Ball game. Brewers win it and take 2 of 3. Cubs offense continues to flounder. Milwaukee wins it by a run.
The answers have to be internal.
At this point, certainly the answers have to come from within.
Woof. What a fun baseball season it's been in Chicago.
The answers coming from within portion of maybe they can still salvage the season is over.
Oh, yeah.
Over.
Oh, yeah.
Never went outside to go get something that might have sparked him. Decided not to do that. Decided to see what they could do, see if they could improve, see if they could have kids come, but never really used him.
And I mean, PCA is a high-profile kid that's here. And is the exact type of person that would be a spark. And it's not sparking.
Because he has virtually no offensive approach. Like, absolutely none whatsoever.
But sometimes it's just about the attitude and the he could make a diving play. Or
that stuff's good.
Other ways to spark a team.
Love it.
Not mattering. They don't hit.
They don't hit, and he doesn't. He also does not hit. Remember, he told us yesterday, I was told not to worry about my offense.
Yeah.
They told me just come and play defense and run the bases, and anything on offense is a plus, and that's good. Which is fine if other people are hitting, but
right.
They are not.
The high-priced veterans are not hitting. Dansby is not hitting. Saya is not hitting. Bellinger is not hitting.
And neither are the low-priced people that needed to step forward.
Correct. So
yeah.
Hit the baseball. We have a lot more people who want to speak at the funeral, but the macro view of the trade deadline, sir.
Because of the third wild card, you have a lot of teams who think they're in it, and that can be good. It can also be really bad for bold strokes at the deadline. AJ Preller's bold in San Diego. Jerry DePoto is bold in Seattle. Most everybody else is really timid. And they talk about, you know, being economical. They talk about being careful, and then they get burned. There's a big time opportunity for some GMs out there. Some on the buying side, Mike Elias in Baltimore, this is your moment, dude. Go get an ace. If it's Crochet, okay. If it's Tarik Skubal, okay. If you don't want to give up Jackson Holliday, fine. But you got other stuff you can give away. Chris Getz. You got a massive opportunity here. Regardless of what I think they should do, regardless of any of that, I mean, there are people out there who think that the biggest trades are going to be the White Sox and should be the White Sox. Crochet maybe to Baltimore. Get everything you can from them. That is a blockbuster that should happen. Luis Robert Jr., it could be Atlanta who needs it. It could be Philly who needs it. Eric Fetty. I mean, like three of the top four potential big-time trades are right there for this White Sox opportunity. Is Chris Getz going to make a big, big play and be bold? And maybe Jed Hoyer has an opportunity if he's willing on Justin Steele, if he's willing on Tyone, if he's willing to ask for the no trade to be waived for some of the corner outfielders. Like, there are opportunities for the truly bold that do not get taken by almost everybody in baseball. And I wonder if our local guys have it in them to be bold this week.
I don't find it to be that bold on the White Sox side. They're the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but
I don't find that to be particularly bold.
Trading Crochet and trading Robert would be bold. It would be bold to go ahead and subtract your very best and go further backwards.
Josh in Rock Falls, you're on the Parkinson Spiegel Show 2024 Cubs Funeral Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Josh.
Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to say, I think Jed Hoyer should be part of the discussions because he's considered he failed the team more than once, twice. And how come nobody's talking about the hitting coach for all these, you know, top tier players there? Thank you for your time.
Yeah, people have mentioned the hitting coach. I'll tell you this: on Sundays for Hit and Run, we make requests every week. I've requested the director of hitting, Justin Stone, for 3 straight weeks. I really, really want to talk to Justin Stone about the overall organizational hitting approach. Some of the stuff we got into with Nico and with Council yesterday,
Our
guys even being asked to have a 2-strike approach, or guys even being asked to shorten up and go the other way or try to drive in a runner when it's out there, or some guys just being asked to try to hit bombs, please. Every time, just try to hit bombs, please. Just try to hit bombs, please. It's incredibly frustrating to watch. And yes, people are talking about it. If you're not hearing it might just be missing certain segments.
Well, I mean, and he'll get fired. John Mailey will get, he'll get fired. Hey.
John Mailey, the assistant. Dustin Kelly, the main guy.
Yeah, they'll get fired.
Maybe so.
They will. There will be fall guys for this.
Mm-hmm.
There always are. But I think it's such a scapegoat thing to blame hitting coaches.
Well, but organizational. I'm asking for Justin Stone. I want to talk about it with Jed. I want to talk about it with Carter. Like, what are they bothering to tell these guys to teach? You know, to your point, let's go higher and ask him.
Todd is in Milwaukee. He's on the score. What up, Todd?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
I was thinking about what you said about Council. You know, when I think about what's a good manager, it's somebody who could, like, work a third of the season and figure out how to get outs out of his bullpen. And Council has done that. A good manager doesn't figure out how to get players to hit. That's on Jed. And he's got dollars. He's got this team up against the salary cap with players that are not performing. He's got long deals with Swanson, with Seiya. What's he going to do? You can't trade those guys. Nobody wants underperforming players with massive contracts. And what, you're going to move half? He's not the problem. You came into the season relying on 2 corner infielders that were unproven. One of them's worked out. The other one hasn't. This is on Jed.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Thank you for the call, Todd. And listen, I said Seiya's not hitting. His OPS has now creeped up over 800. It's probably unfair to characterize it that. He had the lat injury early in the year. He has not played like a $100 million player, and he's had more defensive problems than you would have expected.
I think Seiya, Happ, and Bush have arrived and are hitting just fine.
Yes, I agree.
For useful regulars, and I think Nico has figured it out because he's gone away from trying to pull the damn ball, and he's hitting line drives like crazy.
Still has an OPS under 700,
sure,
but he's playing good baseball.
He has an on base since the 1st of June that's over 360. I think it's 375 is the on base over a good long stretch here, and that's what he is. You need guys like that. I don't need him to be a power guy. You're supposed to have other guys who can do that. But look, caller's point and what you've been arguing about Jed over Council, it is overall correct. Like, it's not binary. It's
no.
Not one or the other. And sometimes we get into that, and I'm looking to put a little more heat on Council because I would like to think he could have done more with the offense. But caller's point about the bullpen, Craig Council has looked at everything they have, dealt with everything that he has, and this bullpen since June 1st is number 1 in baseball. That if that's on a manager's responsibility list, he has figured out the bullpen.
I just don't
and
see,
deserves credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just don't see a lot of situations where I'm like, oh, well, that's an unreasonable strategic thing to do. I see a lot of guys not delivering in big spots. When I'm watching this team, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of, they were a good offensive team, and now they are a bad offensive team. And I don't think he's running the don't play good offense card.
No.
You know, this team reeks of underperformance to me. Not saying that if they performed well, they'd be a World Series team. And so that's on Jed. People are like, oh, you're never going to criticize your guy. Okay, whatever. You can make that allegation if you want. Give me specifics on why Council's responsible for Dansby Swanson being bad. I don't see it that way. But if a team gets shut out, it's hard for me to put it on the manager.
He's not as much your guy as he is Jed's guy. And Jed told us that this guy was going to help them overachieve in a winning year.
Which he has his whole career. I mean, it's like 85% of his seasons he's hit the Vegas over with his team. He does overachieve. I don't believe he forgot how to manage.
This year came back to bite him and to bite Jed big time.
Yes, it's a horrible first impression.
It is karmic retribution.
JT's in the region. He wants to perform a eulogy on the 2024 Cubs. Sorry for your loss.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? My teammate's going up today.
Oh, God.
It's basically how I feel, man. It's not funny. Absolutely aggravating and terrible. Big, huge series against the Cardinals last weekend. Fell flat on their faces. Did absolutely nothing. And what, we steal the Brewers manager? And for what? We had basically a Chicago Cubs legend coaching the team. We go get Craig Counsell. And for what? I don't get it, guys. That's all. I'm pissed. Thanks.
Thank you, JT.
Let's see what the record is for Craig over the course of these 5 years. In this first half, this what, three and a half months here in this bubble, I think it's entirely possible that David Ross would have gotten more. Who knows? It's just it's a small little sample of what Craig is supposed to do for you. It's institutional. It's systemic. It's organizational what he's supposed to do for you as a partner. In this little bubble, it's a bad data point for an $8 million manager, but it's an overall 5 years and $40 million you're trying to showcase the value of.
And I think he's a proven commodity. His record speaks for itself. I think blaming the manager, manager's not the problem on the South side either. You know, it's just generally speaking, not the issue.
Yeah, but the South side is like, I can't really blame Chris Getz as much as we could blame Jed Hoyer. Jed's been here, what, 13 years? This is an interesting moment for Jed Hoyer. It really is. This lame duck season that he will most likely be going into. Is a really interesting moment because, like he said yesterday when we played the cut, like the minute he starts thinking about his own job security, then he can make decisions that are not in the best interests of the organization. It's a dangerous spot to have a lame duck GM if they are emotional, if they are trying to save themselves, if they are worried about that kind of thing.
We also don't know how Tom Ricketts will handle this. We know through some reporting that he was real pissed at the end of last year. That it was as angry as some people had seen him.
Yep.
Like about what the hell happened? What am I watching? What's going on? Like it was about as angry as people around that team had seen him.
No, that's a very good point. And we haven't thought about it. Maybe some people haven't thought about it in a while. That dude cares, and he really was furious at the collapse. And in response to that, he let Jed do some things like greenlit a manager firing and the biggest expenditure for a manager of all time.
Yeah.
So now how does he feel 3.5 months after that? You think some of the fans are pissed at that data point of paying a manager? How's the guy who greenlit the firing and the $40 million expenditure on a manager?
So I don't know how pissed he'd be about that. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I'm thinking about the other.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
We don't know how he will feel about firing an executive. I mean, the guy hired Theo, who hired Jed. And Theo won for him, and Theo said you should hire Jed, and so he hired Jed. We haven't seen Tom Ricketts since there has been expectations on the Cubs have to seriously consider firing an executive.
No, we have not.
Since he's been the owner of the team and there have been expectations for the Cubs, we have no idea how he's going to handle this. Will he be comfortable with Jed Hoyer as a lame duck general manager? Will he be totally terrified of that and give him a perfunctory 1 or 2 year extension just to guarantee that Jed doesn't operate in self-interest? Or will he fire him? We have no idea.
No, it's true. It's he let Jim Hendry. We do have that. We have the beginnings.
But it's different. The whole thing's different.
He said he was going to observe for a year, just a full-on observation. And he just watched everything at the beginning when Jim Hendry was the baseball boss. And he let Jim Hendry manage a draft and a trade deadline as a lame duck, you know, and that's worth examining some more because it is at the beginning as he was gathering all the information, everything. But then even after that, he let Jim Hendry, you know, manage everything. And Jim Hendry was in charge of that draft. And Jim Hendry's in charge of a deadline where they gave up Chris Archer for Matt Garza, or in charge of a season where they gave up, you know, big time prospects for Matt Garza in one last gasp. And was that to save Jim Hendry's own skin? Was that on at the behest of the manager? I remember Barry Rosner and I disagreeing about that at the time. It's worth a check in with our guy Barry, perhaps, who
he doesn't want to be bothered about football or baseball or anything.
He knows nothing about everything.
it makes a great talk show host.
It really does. That guy knows absolutely nothing about everything. And so, but he does know a lot about Jim Hendry. He knows a lot about those final years. And I think considering that, because to your point, we haven't seen it with Tom. How pissed is he? He was pissed at the team. How pissed is he at Jed? And what would he and Jed work out? I think Jed is going to have a lame duck season. I
do too.
I don't think he's going to have an extension. I don't think he's going to walk away like Theo did because Jed is.
No.
Because Theo had won a million things. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's let Jed do it.
Well, and there was a teardown that needed to happen.
Yes, he wanted no part of it.
Yeah, so no, walk away. Walk away is not in play, buddy. He's a young guy who hasn't won with a young family who just bought a huge house.
But sometimes people walk away. David Stearns walked away in Milwaukee, took a year off, and then took the Mets job. You know, a lot of times those executives will bail before it gets to the place, it gets to the lame duck place.
Jed's not walking away. He will not walk away. They'll have to fire him. But I don't think they're going to fire him because, again, I don't know or really care about any of this, but apparently all the rankings say that the Cubs are super healthy.
Organization healthy.
Yeah.
Big league team bad for the first half of this year.
Yeah, but also not a ton of stars either in the it's depth. Is they've got a lot of good in terms of prospect rankings. There's not like, oh, they've got a, you know, that guy's going to hit 40 bombs for you as soon as he gets here.
Yeah.
There's not that in the minors either. It's just a lot of good.
You know what was interesting with Council yesterday was him saying you are what your record says you are, but then still kind of saying he thinks they're a little better than what they've been. You know?
He says he thinks this team can be a playoff team,
yeah,
is what he said.
Yeah. Jed thinks they're better than what they've been. Jameson Taillon said it last night.
Yeah.
He said it last night. He thinks they're better than what they've been.
Let's hear Tyone, actually.
It was interesting postgame, wasn't it?
Because trading Tyone, who has now been good and is very cheap, relatively, it's $18 million a year, they'd get a lot for him.
Manageable. It's like the Luis Robert contract. It's like, it's not cheap, but it's reasonable. It's definitely reasonable. Can you get reasonable?
For any big budget team, it's cheap.
I don't agree that cheap is the right word to use.
Okay.
It's not. 3 to 5 million, maybe 6 million.
What if he was a free agent after this year? He'd get more than 18 per.
Yeah.
So it's a discount.
Okay, so it's reasonable.
It's an under market value deal.
Okay.
If he was a free agent.
I just don't like cheap.
Okay, it's an under market value deal. Here's what he said afterwards.
Free agency is kind of a two-way street. Like, the team commits to you and they pay you handsomely and pay you money. And then you do your homework as a player and you grind to make it to free agency. And it's a big honor to even get there and have teams interested in you. And then, you know, you get to vet teams and think about cities and where you want to live and maybe buy a house. So there's a lot that goes into it. And it's a two-way commitment. It's kind of like a little mini marriage. I've had a great time here. I love showing up here every day. It's a great group of guys. I think we've said it a lot. Like, I feel like we should be better than we are. But to this point, we just haven't gotten it done, and results speak louder than, you know, any words we can say here. So, I would love to stay here, obviously. I chose coming to Chicago and being a Cub, so that's where I'm at.
Jameson, just even talking a little bit about, like, the results and stuff, ovation from the crowd, and you come out of the game in the eighth, and look back to where you were a little over a year ago and what you wanted to prove. I mean, what does that mean to you, I guess, how the city and stuff has kind of embraced you a little over a calendar year?
Yeah, those moments are cool. Those are moments you'll never forget. I can tell my kids about it one day and stuff. All the hard work and stuff, like, it's nice to make people happy and be acknowledged and stuff like that. And then on the flip side, like, even when I was struggling last year, I'd say even more important than getting any sort of ovation is, like, I never had anyone, you know, in the streets talk bad to me, or I never felt like I was getting booed, or nothing got out of hand with that. So I just have a lot of respect for the fans and stuff from that front. Because if you show up every day and you're getting booed and you're struggling and you already put pressure on yourself, like, it could have spiraled, and just having the support probably helped push me through and get me to where I am.
Damn, that's an impressive adult, isn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't get too low when he sucked last year. He's trying not to get too high as he's good this year. Living with the reality of, like, the choices that he made and the choices the Cubs might make in regards to him this week. That is an adult human. Impressive.
I still wish we as a sports city booed a little bit more, even though I know that it's counterproductive. Still, it's a primal thing. I can hear that and respect the hell out of it. And I've talked with enough athletes here who will acknowledge. Nico was one of the first guys who said it to me. He's like, we know how good we have it because we're in a big market, and all the media opportunities and merchandising opportunities and marketing opportunities that come with it. We get to play in front of a packed house, but we don't really have the pressure of New York, Philly, Boston. It's not mean here. It's big media. It's not a mean media. Like, it really isn't a confrontational media like Philly, like New York. So these guys don't really get booed.
Who's the meanest media that we have in this town?
I don't know, but I can tell you, while we think about that, I've been to a lot of Sox games. We do a lot of booing at 35th and Shields, and it hasn't really worked, I got to tell you. Like our guy Tom Hamilton said, fans, they have a bad day and they want to come take it out on somebody.
Tom Hamilton might be the best psychological profiler of White Sox fans that exists. It's amazing.
Tanny's pretty good.
Fans, they don't like him.
Maybe that's why I love Tom Hamilton so much.
I think so. He knows you. He's seen you, Danny. That's why you love him. Also, he thinks my name is Max.
That's why I love him. Joe's in his car. He's on the score. Let's go, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing? I'd like to talk about I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Oh, but Joe.
You called to talk about David Ross, Joe. David Ross.
All right.
Yes, I'd like to see him back as a coach and bump up Consul to the front office.
Well,
because I don't
be waiting a while. So
I don't know.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, see, this is why I normally take callers that skew towards the younger end of the demo.
Oh, stop old bashing. That's for us to do about Tony La Russa.
And Spiegel. Okay? And
you think that's why I'm so defensive about it?
Call had a lot on his mind. He had an election to drop out of, so give him a little grace.
He's tired.
Did you see that guy today? See that guy?
I did.
You see his ad lib about the bleach?
It's going to be a fun 6 months. The filter is totally gone for Crooked Joe.
Yeah. He's not crooked. He's sleepy. He's sleepy.
Oh, he's slanted. He can't walk straight.
He's sleepy.
Oh, you meant physically crooked. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, that's me with old zigzag back over here.
Oof.
Can we talk Bears?
What? Who?
We're talking Bears, please. These baseball teams suck. Trade deadline. Get the hell out of here.
Trade deadline. It's a thing.
I know it's a thing. Great. It's a thing. Congratulations to your sport for having a thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the screen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.